The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Yisra. Vayishma Yisra kein midyun chesin meishe es kol asher osa elekim lemeishe liyisrael amei. And Yisra, who was a kein midyun, the father-in-law of Meishe, heard all that Hashem did to Meishe and to Yisrael, his nation, ki yohitzi Hashem ish Yisrael mimitzroyim, that Hashem took Israel out of Egypt. Vayikach Yisra chesin meishe es sipore eishes meishe achash shiluchel veishnei vonecho. אשר שם האחד גרשם כי יום הגר יסי וארץ נוחריו ושם האחד אליעזר כי אלקי אבי בעזרי ואצילנו מחרב פרעה. And Yisrael took Tzipora, which was his daughter, the wife of Meisha, because when Meisha came to Egypt, he brought his two sons and Tzipora with him. But then Aaron told Meisha, what are you bringing more people here? On a mitzvah al rishenim, we are worried and we are broken about the people that are here that are enslaved. And are you adding to it? So he sent them back to his father-in-law's house, to Yisrael. And now Yisrael was bringing the two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, and Tzipora, back to Meisha. Now this parsha is speaking after the Yitzias Mitzrayim, after the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, when they were in the desert. And then Yisrael came to join them. Why did Yisrael come? So Rashi tells us, "Vayishma Yisrael," because he heard. Mashmu Shoma Ubo Kriyas Yamsuf Sufa Milchamas Amalek. He heard of the splitting of the sea and the war with Amalek, and he decided that he wants to come and join Klal Yisrael to become a ger. Vayova Yisrael Chesin Mishpo Meisha Vona Vishtel Meisha Elamid Bor Asher Hu Chenishom Har Elokim. And Yisrael came with the sons and the wife to Meisha, to the desert near Har Elokim, which was near the mountain of Hashem, where they were camping. And this is prior, according to the way the parsha is written, is actually a question as to the actual chronological order when Yisrael came and when he left. But according to the way the parsha is written, they were camping Neged Hor, next to the mountain, and the Torah is telling us, will tell us in this parsha, Maimed Har Sinai and Matan Torah, standing by Har Sinai and the giving of the Torah. Let's spend this evening, the time that we have, on a few points in regards to the giving of the Torah and the preparation of the giving of the Torah. Now here it states that Yisro came into the desert, El Hamidbor. And the Rashi tells us, Afanu Yodin Shebe Midbor Hoyo. We know that Yisrael was in the Midbor. So what does the Torah have to tell us that Yisro came to the desert for? El Bishfochei. The Torah wants to give praise to Yisrael. Yisrael was a very great person and a very wealthy person. And he was a leader. And he was sitting in the most honorable places in the world. And still his heart uplifted himself in order to go into the desert. Mokum Teha, an isolated and desolate place. For what reason? Lishmaya Divrei Torah, to go and hear the Divrei Torah. Prior to that, Rashi brings that Yisrael had seven names. One of the names that Yisrael had was Chovev. Why was he called Chovev? Shechova Vesatera. Shechive Vesatera. Because he had a great love for Torah. Perhaps this might have been the key reason why Yisro was eicher to so much. Yisro was eicher to have a son-in-law like Meisher Rabbeinu. and he was able to become the first ger after the formal giving of the Torah. He was the first one to come and be Megayer. And he was able to add a parsha to the Torah. Another one of his names was Yeser. Why was he called Yeser? Sheyiter parsha achas betera. Because he added, Yeser means to add, he added a parsha to the Torah. When he saw how Moshe was judging the people, he told them that that was not the proper way. He has to appoint other judges to help him, like the Torah relates. And this came to Torah because of Yisro. This is something that a person has a power, and especially someone who was from outside of Klal Yisrael has a power to come and add to the Torah. And also we see that he had B'nai Bonim, he had grandchildren that were also great in Torah. Later on the Tanakh tells us. Perhaps the key to this was because Chovev, he had a great love for Torah. Such a love for Torah that he was willing to go out into the desert and leave Kfeidi Shalalem, leave the most wonderful places in the world, Lishmea Divrei Torah, to hear Divrei Torah. Comes to mind when we speak of this, a Mishnah in Masechet Oves. The Mishnah tells us in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes Vov, Reb Nehorio says, "Have geilel im kem teira," that a person should exile himself to a place of Torah. And he shouldn't say that Torah will come after him, or shechavercha yikimuha biyodecho. Or he shouldn't say that I do not have to go to a place of Torah. What's a place of Torah? A place of Torah is where there's a Rav, where there are great people learning Torah that you could go learn by. Many times a person feels that I don't have to go to other places where there are great people teaching Torah. I can learn from my chaverim. So the Reb Nehorio, this was Reb Lezer ben Aroch. He was called Reb Nehorio because the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin Mibnei Shoyim Manir Einei Chachomim. Nehorio means light. He enlightened the eyes of the wise with his wisdom. Therefore he said, "Al teimer shehi tove acharecho, o shechavercho yikimuha." Do not say that your chaverim, they will teach you Torah. You cannot learn Torah from chaverim. You can learn also from chaverim. But a person needs a Rebbe. He needs someone who's greater, much greater than him in Torah. Ve'al binoscho al tishon. And he should not rely on his own knowledge. So the Nehorio is telling us, firstly, a person should exile himself to a place of Torah. Secondly, he should not say that the Torah will come, will follow him. Thirdly, he should not say that it's not necessary to go to a place where there are great people in Torah, because his chaverim will teach him Torah. And fourthly, he should not say that it's not necessary because I can learn Torah myself. And here we see Yisro was geila limkem Torah. Torah was in the desert, Yisro went. It's a very interesting, though, Maral, in his Sefer, on this Mishnah. Generally, we think it means Hevigela Atma, Hevigela Limkem Teira, that a person should go away someplace to learn. The Maral asks, why does Reb Nehorio have to tell us, go away to learn Torah, and you shouldn't say that Torah will come after you? It would be sufficient to say go away to learn Torah, go away to study Torah. What's he have to add? And you shouldn't say Torah will come after you. Sufficient to tell us that you should go away to study Torah. So he is Mechadish, he tells us the Maral that this is the reason why you should go away to study Torah, because Torah will not come after you. What does that mean? We find many things in the world that come after the person. Whether he seeks it or not, it will seek him. For example, wealth. Many people seek wealth an entire life. They don't find it. Other people don't seek wealth, and it finds them. They're born wealthy. They inherit wealth. Or they're in business and all of a sudden they have a tremendous windfall and they become wealthy. Wealth seeks a person. Beauty. Many people seek beauty, but beauty seeks a person. People are born beautiful. Possessions, talents. Many people try to develop talents, seek talents. Others, they don't do anything for it, and they have it. And why? And this is what the Gemara tells us, I call Tolei B'Mazel, because it's Tolei B'Mazel. It's dependent on the person's geiro, see, on his lot. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that his lot should be that he's wealthy, he's going to be wealthy. Naturally, he could take his wealth and squander it if he wants. He can throw it into the river. But he'll have that wealth. What he does with it, that's a different story. But he will have that wealth, whether he seeks it or not. Talents, if it's decreed that he has to have this talent, he will have it. How he use it, that's his bechira, but he will have it. Strength, health. Many people are born very healthy, and many people, Rachman Yisrael, they're born sickly. A person can destroy his own health. That's because he doesn't know how to use it. But if it's decreed that he should be born healthier, that he should be healthy, he will be. And this is because, the Gemara says, it's Tolei B'Mazel. Depends on the person's mazel and the person's lot. Torah is lemalo min ha-mazel. Torah is not within mazel. It's above and beyond the mazelish. And Torah will never seek a person. No person will be born into Torah. No person will become great in Torah by itself. The Gemara says, why do we find so many times that B'nai Talmidei Chachomim Lehavi Talmidei Chachomim, that the sons of great Torah scholars are not Torah scholars? She'ein Yerusha L'Torah, because there's no inheritance to Torah. Sons of wealthy people are wealthy. Many times sons of strong people are strong. There can be inheritance to these things. But ein Yerusha L'Torah, there's no inheritance to Torah. And the Gemara tells us, if a person will say, it's the Gemara in Masechta Megillah, the Avov Amud Beis, Omer of Yitzchok, Im Yeme Lecho Odom, Yogati Vele Motzosi, if a person will say that I toiled in Torah and I did not find Torah, Al Tamin, do not believe him. If he tells you, Motzosi Vele Yogati, that I found Torah even without toil, Al Tamin, do not believe him. She'ein Teira B'lei Yegiyah, because there is no success in Torah without tremendous labor. And then the Gemara says, V'hani Mila B'divir Teira, but that's only in regards to Torah. Aval Maso Mahin, but when it comes to business and wealth, this is not true. Siyat Rishmayuhi, you can become wealthy without working too hard, or you can work hard and not become wealthy. But not in Torah. So we see that Torah, in essence, will not seek the person. You want Torah? You have to seek it. That's why it states, Hevi Geilalim Kem Teira, you go in exile after Torah. Al Teiman, do not say, Shehi Tovei Acharecho, that it'll come to me. I don't have to go seek Torah. Torah will come to me. If you'll wait for Torah to seek you, then you will wait 1,000 years, and it still will not seek you. That's one reason. There's another reason also why Torah will not seek a person. And that's because it is a maila. It is a level which is far beyond the person. Other levels are closer to the person. Torah is something which is far beyond the person. It's not from this world. It's from another world. We see that when Moshe went up to receive Torah, it says, "Umeisha ola el ahor." Moshe had to go up on the mountain to bring Torah down into this world. It comes from a different world. And since it comes from a different world, then the person has to go up after Torah. Not that Torah will come down after him. Other gifts, no, it's all right. Wealth, beauty, health, talents. They're not so removed from the person. So it's possible they will seek the person. But Torah, which is so removed from the person, it will not come from its height to the person. The person must climb towards it. And this is implicated to us when the Torah tells us that there were three crowns. There was the crown of Torah and the crown of Kohuna, of priesthood, and Keser Malchus, the crown of kingship. And these three crowns all were in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary. States that the Mizbeach, the altar, had a crown that represented Keser Malchus, the crown of kingship. And the Shulchan and the table had a crown, and that represented, that the Mizbeach represented Keser Kohuna, the crown of priesthood. And the Shulchan, this represented the crown of Malchus, of kingship. And the Oren HaKodesh, this represented, had a crown, this represented the crown of Torah. And by all by the other two, it states, Vasiso Lei, that you shall make for it a crown. And by the Orem, it states, Vasiso Lei, it's Vasiso Olod, you shall make on it a crown. By the Mizbeach, the altar, and by the Shulchan, it states, Vasiso Lei, you shall make for it a crown. And by the Oren, it states, Vasiso Olov, you shall make above it a crown. Because the other crowns are crowns that even when people wear, it belongs to them. But Torah is a crown which is always above the person. And therefore, Al Teimar, a person should not say, Shehi Tovei Acharecho, that it will come after me. It will not come after you. If you want it, you must go after it. And this is what we saw by Yisro. Yisro wanted Torah. He went even in the desert to find it. One more very important point that the Maharal writes here. He writes it's not necessary for a person to go into exile to study Torah. Reb Nehoria that says, Hevi Geilelim Kem Teira, is merely bringing out the point that we mentioned, that you must go after Torah. You must go to Torah, not expect Torah to come to you. But he says, for example, that if in your own city there's a Rav teaching Torah, if you go to that Beis HaMedrash, that's Hevi Geil Atzmelim Kom Torah. That's exiling yourself to Torah. If you expect the Rav to come to you to teach you, but if you expect that by staying in your house you will learn Torah, then that's not exiling yourself to Torah. That's the main point that Vinohari is bringing here. Not that a person has to go miles, if necessary, if the nearest Torah to him is thousands of miles away, then he must go there. But if there's Torah right in his own city, then if he goes to the Rav to learn, that's Geilelim Kam Torah. He's exiling himself to Torah. The main point that Rabbi Nahori is bringing out is that you must go after Torah. Val Tomar, and do not say, Shehi Tove Acharecho, that it will come to me. Or Shechavercho Yikimuha. I don't have to go after Torah, my Chaverim will teach me Torah. Or Val Vinoscha Al Tishon. Or I don't have to go after those who know Torah, I'll learn Torah myself. Okay. Torah is something you must seek. This is a very important principle. And we see it all the time. We see there are certain individuals that are always seeking Torah. They're always looking for the opportunity to learn. They're always looking for the opportunity to learn Torah from someone else. They always go to a shir. They always go to a Beis HaMedrash. They always go to a yeshiva. They always go to someone who's teaching Torah. That's Gele Atzmai, the Torah. We see others, they want to learn Torah. They claim they want to learn Torah. But to come to a shir, many times is difficult. It's a little too far. The weather is not so good. It's conflicting schedules. To go to a yeshiva, or to go to a Beis HaMedrash, or to go to a shul. It's always difficult. It would be more convenient if they wouldn't have to travel so far for Torah. If they wouldn't have to go out during the day or at night or whatever it might be. So actually this is what he's telling us. If you want Torah, there's only one way you're going to get it. And that's by seeking it out. Whether it's next door to you, or whether it's 1,000 miles away, or whether it's in a midbar in a desert. You must seek it. It will not seek you. You must go up to it. It will not come down to you. Other things can come to you. Wealth can come to you, if so decreed. Strength, beauty. But Torah, even if it's decreed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will not come to you. Because if someone says, Lo yogato motzoso, that I didn't labor for Torah, I didn't follow Torah, I didn't toil for Torah, and I found it, I'll tell me, do not believe him. It's impossible. And this actually is dependent on the great drive and the great love the individual has for Torah. Says Shlomo HaMelech said, Mayim rabim lo yuchal lachavis. That the love that a person can have for Torah is so great that even a multitude of waters cannot quench this love, cannot put out this fire. If a person is an individual like that, then he will find Torah. This was Yisro. Therefore Yisro was called Chevev, because he had such a great love for Torah, but it wasn't theoretical. He didn't talk about it while sitting in his palace. When he heard that there was Torah in the desert, he left his palace and went lemokam tehu, to an isolated, barren desert, lishmaya Torah, to learn Torah. This is a very important principle, especially when we come to the story of Matan Torah. Another point. It states in Yutes Aleph, Bachodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, Bayim Hazeh Obol Midbar Sinoi. It was in the third month when Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt. That means they went out in Nisan, the 15th of Nisan. The next month was Iyar, and the third month was Sivan. And it was on Sivan that they came, that they went out of Egypt, Bayim Hazeh, on that day, Bo Midbar Sinai. They came to the desert of Sinai. V'yisu v'yisu Mirfidim, and they traveled from Mirfidim, Bayavo Midbar Sinai, v'yachanu b'midbar. They came from the desert, they came to the desert of Sinai, and they camped in the desert, v'yichan shom Yisrael neged Ohor. And they camped there, he camped there, neged, next to the mountain. This was on the first day of the third month. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos asks, why was it in the third? Why was it in the third month? The Torah seems to emphasize here that the Torah was given in the third month. So it doesn't say Bechedesh HaSivan. Like in many other places, it writes Bechedesh HaTishrei or Bechodesh Nisan. Rather, it says the third month. What is the Torah bringing out here? So the Gemara brings in the Sechti Shabbos Daf Peches Dorish Ahu Gliloi Olel Derev Chizda V'rich Rachmona Diyoi V'urayin Tilsoi. Blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave a Torah which is made up of three parts Le'am Tilsoi, to a nation that's made up of three parts, Al Yedei Tilsoi, through a third person, B'yayim Tilsoi, after 3 days, because later in the parsha it tells us that Hayunachonim Lishleishishonim, that you should prepare yourselves for 3 days before the giving of Torah, B'yarchoi Tilsoi, and in the third month. The third month of the going out of Egypt, Nisan Ir Sivan. Blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave a Torah which is made up of three parts. So Rashi says, because it's Torah, Nevim, and Ksuvim. So you have Torah, you have the prophets, and you have the writings. Le'am Tilsoi, to a nation that's made up of three parts. Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Al Yedei Tilsoi, which was given by a third person, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. It was given from Hashem to Klal Yisrael through an intermediate party, Moshe Rabbeinu. B'yayim Tilsoi, on the third day after they prepared themselves for 3 days, B'yarcho Tilsoi, in the third month. So what is meant by this? So Moral explains in his Drush al HaTorah, first of all, we don't find that the Torah stipulated a specific time for giving of the Torah, even though we find this by other Yom Tovim. For example, Pesach states that must come on the 15th of Nisan. Sukkot, that must come on the 15th of Tishrei. Yom Kippur must come on the 10th of Tishrei. Nowhere in the Torah does it tell us that Shavuos, or the giving of the Torah, was on the 6th day of Sivan. It was on the 6th day of Sivan. That's when Shavuos is, but does not say so in the Torah. The fact is, there's even a question in the Gemara, if it's the 6th day of Sivan. See? There's all that states that they came to Har Sinai on the first day of Sivan, in the third month. And then we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell the nation to wait a day, wait another day, to prepare yourself for 3 days, and then Torah was given. Or it's written that you shall count 49 days after the going out of Egypt, and then on the 50th day will be the Torah was given. But we do not find it as an affixed day in the calendar. We basically find that when they were ready to receive Torah, that's when they received Torah. Except that it was in the third month. That's all that's brought out. Why is that? Because just like we mentioned before, Torah is beyond all mazolos. It's also lemala min hazman. Torah is above the time zone. It cannot be restricted to a time zone. The other Yom Tovim, it's possible to stipulate a specific time for them in the calendar. But the giving of Torah, that was above the entire physical sphere that time is a part of, and therefore there was not in a fixed time as to when Torah would be given. When they were ready to receive Torah, that's when they received Torah. That's why no fixed time is mentioned in the calendar that the Torah speaks of. But it is mentioned on the third month. And that's what the Gemara says, that we see many times this threefold plays a very significant role in Torah. What is the significance of that? Torah is from the word Horah. which means to direct a person. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us Torah to direct a person. L'hei reison, to instruct you and to direct you. No other wisdom is called Torah. All other wisdoms are referred to as Chochmah, wisdom. But only the wisdom of Torah is called Torah to direct you. Why is that? All wisdom directs the person. Because all wisdoms can only direct a person to a degree, in a specific area. You study mathematics, it will direct you in mathematics. If you study the physical sciences, it will direct you there. But to direct you through the entire world, and not only this world, but into the next world also, there is no wisdom. Like the Mishnah says in Bar Metzia, that if you find a lost article that belongs to your Rebbe, and you find a lost article that belongs to your father, first you have to return the article that belongs to your Rebbe. Because your father brings you into this world, and your Rebbe that teaches you Torah does not only bring a person through this world, it leads a person also into the next world. And therefore only the wisdom of Torah is called Torah. And this means that Torah has the power to direct a person straight through the heart of this world and into the heart of the next world. Torah is straight. Perfect. It does not lean to the right, it does not lean to the left. And therefore it's called Pikudei Hashem Yishorim. The mitzvahs of Hashem are yoshor, are exactly straight. They do not deviate to the right or to the left. Torah Hashem Tamimo. The Torah of Hashem is perfect. Something that's perfect cannot go to either extremity. Once it deviates off center, then no longer is it perfect. And this is the essence of Torah. The essence of Torah is Tamimo, perfect, Pikudei Hashem Yishorim, Torah Hashem Tamimo, and upright, perfectly straight. Three always represents something that is perfectly straight. Because you have, for example, to the right, you have to the left, and then you have to the center. If you take a rope or a chain, the middle link is what holds the other two links in place. And since Torah represents the perfection and the uprightness of wisdom, then it has in it this ingredient of three. And we find this by Klal Yisrael. Because Yaakov also was called Tam. Ish Tam. Which meant he was perfectly upright and straight. He did not deviate to the right or to the left. And Yaakov also is called Yeshurun. Yeshurun is from the word Yoshor. Perfectly straight. And Yaakov was the third of the Oves. There were three pillars which built the house of Israel. And Yaakov was the third. Abraham was the first, and Yitzchak was the second, and Yaakov was the middle link that brought both together to mold and blend this perfection. And therefore the best time for Torah to be given would be also in a time of three, B'chodesh HaShlishi, in the third month. And therefore he said, this Dore Shahug Lilo Oleo de Ravchizdo, that he darshened Brich Rachmono, the Yoivu Rain Tilsoi, he gave a Torah which is made up of three parts. Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, La'am Tilsoi, to a nation which is made up of three parts. Al Yedei Tilsoi, through a third person. Now Mesha also was known to be perfectly upright. This is brought many places. One place is brought is that when Moshe saw an injustice, he couldn't tolerate it. He was so straight that it was impossible for him to tolerate an injustice. When the Torah wants to tell us the greatness of Moshe, it gives us three stories, and all are in this vein. He couldn't tolerate the injustice that would be that was being done to Klal Yisrael. See, he went out and he saw the Egyptian was hitting an Israeli. He killed him. Then he couldn't tolerate the injustice being done by one Israel to another. And he went and intervened. And then he couldn't even tolerate the injustice, even if it wasn't his own nation. When he saw the daughters of Israel being chased away by the shepherds, he stood up by Yeshua. He went and he fought their cause. Why? What was his business? What did he have to get involved for? So the Chazal tell us, because Moshe was so straight, Ish Elokim, he was called. Elokim Zu Bezdin. Elokim, the word Elokim, the name of Hashem, Elokim represents Din, perfect judgment and justice. And Moshe, that was the Ish Elokim, he could not tolerate any distortion. The fact is, it's brought that that was the reason when Yisro came and told him that you can't judge the people yourself, why don't you appoint others? Couldn't Moshe think of this himself? So the answer was, Moshe was afraid to give the responsibility of judging others to other people, because he knew that it would not have that perfection. See, and that's why he didn't do it. This was Moshe. So he was chosen to be the third party in giving over the Torah, that third link. B'yayim Tilsoy, after 3 days of preparation, B'yarcha Tilsoy, in the third month. That's why Torah was given in the third month. Then it states, on this day they came to the desert of Sinai. Rashi tells us, what does it mean on this day? On that day, we're not talking, it says that on this day they came to the desert of Sinai. What do you mean on this day? It should say on that day. So what is the Torah telling us? Yedivrei Torah Chadoshim Alecha Ki Ilayim Nitnu. Torah must always be in the eyes of a person as if it was given not on that day, but on this day, on every day. This is what the Torah is telling us. If it would say that they came to the desert of Sinai on that day, then we would always look at the giving of Torah as something that took place in the past. Therefore it states that they came to the desert of Sinai on this day, which means that every day a person studies Torah, he has to look at it as if it was given today. We have another similar drosha. This is in Parshas Vayeschanan, in the Krishma, in the Shema Yisrael that we say every day. It states, states in Voschan and Vorim, Vov Posuk Vov, Vohoyu had Vorim, Vohoyu had Vorim, Ela Asheranochi, Metzavacha Hayom, Alevavecha. And the words which I command to you today shall be on your hearts. What does it mean, which I command to you today? So Rashi says, Lo ye beinecho kidyut gemo yishono, like an old edict, she'ein odem seifno, that a person is not interested to read, ele kachadosho, it must be like a new edict,
Shahakol rotzim likros, so that everyone runs right away to see what it says. What is it? Yutkimam mitzvah zamelech abon b'michtav. When the king declares a new law, and he sends a letter to be read to the people, or to be posted, where people can see it, so everybody runs to read it. But once it's there for a while, nobody's interested anymore. Torah must not be like an old decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It must be a new decree, and that's why we say, V'hoyu hadvorim ha'ela asher anochi metzavecha hayom, that these words shall, which I command you, shall be on your heart today. That I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, this is all very nice, that you should look at Torah as if it was given today. You should look at Torah as if it was commanded today. Not that it was commanded 3,000, 4,000 years ago. But how do you do that? The fact is, it was given 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. It's very nice to say that this is how you should look at it. But the reality is not like that. So what did the Chazal mean? See, here also is a very deep principle. The explanation in this is, what is the difference between something which is new and something which is old? Something which is new is something which comes to the person which he has not yet acquired. Something which is old is something which the person has already acquired. You buy a new garment. When it comes into your possession, it's a new acquisition. If you have a garment for a few months, the newness wears off. It's no longer a new acquisition. It's already yours for a long time. And newness has a peculiar nature. Newness brings a great rejoicing to a person. We have halachas on that. When you get something new, you make a shechayonu. Or you make a birchas ateva ametiv. Something old is not like that. The reality, what the Chazal is telling us, that Torah is always new to a person. It's not telling you how we should look at it psychologically, but that's the reality. Why? Because Torah is something which the person never becomes the master over. It's never his entire acquisition. Even though it says in Tehillim, Ki b'teiras Hashem, that a person should desire teiras Hashem, u'b'seirosu yege yom v'layla, when he labors in a day and night, it's considered his Torah. And he does acquire it, but still it states that a person must constantly review the Torah, because kosher likna is kikesev v'zov, v'neach lishtaber kiskuchis. It's as difficult to acquire as gold and silver, and it's as easy as to lose as glass. Gold and silver are very difficult to acquire, but at least once you have it, they can last forever. Glass is easy to acquire. But the Gemara says that glass is not such a good investment. You could pay a lot of money for glass and then you lose your investment. It drops, it breaks. Torah has both problems. It's as difficult to acquire as gold and silver. And even once you have it, it's not like gold and silver that will last forever. It's like glass. It can be broken very easily. And why is that? The reason is because Torah, where is its source? Its source is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whatever Torah you study, you're studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. It's something which is above the person which he's trying to bring to himself. If you have some gold and you bring it to yourself and you acquire it, it's yours. But Torah, you never gain a complete acquisition on it. How can you, when the source is still by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is why we find a phenomenon by Torah that you find by no other study. The same text can be studied by you teach a Posuk Chumash to a 5-year-old, and a 15-year-old can learn that Posuk Chumash, and a 30-year-old can learn that Posuk Chumash, and a great Rav can learn that Posuk Chumash, and the Vilna Gaon can learn that Posuk of Chumash, and Moshe Rabbeinu can learn that Posuk of Chumash. The same thing. Try to do that with any other textbook. Won't work. Why is that? Because that Posuk of Chumash, the wisdom in that Posuk of Chumash is endless, because its source is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And therefore, whatever you learn, Dover Echod Midivrei Torah, one word of Torah, you never master. This is why the Chazal tell us that when you learn Torah, you have to learn it over, not twice, not three times, hundreds of times. Ein edem mi shelaymed mea pomim, lemi shelaymed mea ve'echod pomim. Cannot compare the one who has reviewed it 100 times to the one who has reviewed it 101 times. Because one word of Torah has endless depths, and it's sourced by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore you never master Torah. It never becomes yours. And when a person understands this, then he realizes it's always Kadoshim, it's always new. When you have something and you master it, you own it, then it becomes old. You're not bringing it into your possession. But if you have something that no matter what it is, it's still not quite in your possession, it's at your fingertips, every time you learn it again, you again bring it into your possession. Or bringing it from Sinai. And this is also the reason why there can be, the Gemara says, that the greatest tanug, the greatest joy, the greatest ecstasy that a person can have in this world is to delve into the depths of Torah. Why? Because as we mentioned, something that's new brings great joy to a person. The only problem is that in the pursuit of worldly possessions, you get something new, it's wonderful, but before you know it, it's old. You bring a child something new, it's good. But after a while, it's discarded because it becomes old. And so is it with adults. But Torah, every time you learn Torah, even though you learn the same thing over, those same thoughts are anew. And therefore, it can produce endless joy to the person. We find by many people, the older they get, they gain a greater joy from the more simpler text of Torah. Usually, if you teach Torah to a young person, he doesn't like to review too many times. He likes to hear something new all of the time, because he doesn't see enough depth in it. But the older the person gets, he gets more joy out of a simple posuk in Chumash, a simple Mishnah, a line of Gemara, because he constantly sees things in it that he didn't see before. So this is what it means when it says that it should be as if Torah was given not that day but today, because it is given today. It's a Yuta Chadosho, a new edict from the king. Then the Torah states, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahor, and they camped there against the mountain. Now it states Vayachanu Bamidbor, they camped in the desert, Vayichan Shom, and they camped there next to the mountain. It does not say they camped, it says he camped. Vayichan is singular. So Rashi brings that really it should say Vayachanu Shom, they camped. Why does it say that he camped? Rashi tells us, Ki ish echod belev echod, avoshar kol chanuyis betarumis v'machlekes. All over in the Torah it always states by Yachanu. They camped. The only place it states by Yichan, he camped, is here by the giving of Torah. Because in every place where Klal Yisrael camped, it was as if many people camped. They were not united. There were complaints. There was strife. There was contention. But by Har Sinai, when they camped, it states by Yichan, he camped. Ki ish echot kelev echot. All of Israel was like one person. What is this bringing out to us? Also a very great principle. The Maral writes, at the giving of the Torah, Klal Yisrael there had to be united perfectly in order to receive Torah. And the Torah made Klal Yisrael into a perfectly united band. Why? The Torah is the essence of being united. Because the Torah is the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there is nothing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Torah. And he is the most united single bond in the entire world. Because if you look at anything, and it'll be made up of many elements, if you trace each element to its source, it will come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the single source of everything in the world. This world is known as the Olam HaPizur, the world which is separated, or the Olam HaRkova, the world of which many elements are taken and things are made from them. But the higher world is known as the Olam HaPoshut, the world of singleness. It would be, for example, if you have a mighty river, and that river has millions of tons of water in it. And if you'll trace that river, you'll find that many, many rivers go into it. If you go into the mountains, and you'll see a stream coming out of the mountains, you'll see literally dozens and dozens and dozens of streams all flowing into this stream from every direction in the mountain. If you eventually trace it to its source, so you'll come to a single source. And as long as that source is not a single source, then you know that's not its beginning. Because the beginning of everything must be one. Same thing with a tree. If you have a mighty tree, a branch, and you follow the branch, and you come to another branch, and you come to another branch, and you come to the trunk of the tree, eventually, and you come to many roots, its source is one seed. That was the seed. So the tributaries are always many, the manifestation is many, but the source is always a single source. That's why this world is called the Olam HaRkova. The manifestation is made up of many elements, but the upper world is the Olam HaPoshut, that of a single world, of a single source, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's nothing which is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Torah states that Kuchi Brichu V'yorai Sochatu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah is one entity, indivisible. He who puts his arms around the Torah is as if he's putting his arms around the Almighty himself, the sages say. And this is why we've mentioned this many times at length in the Medrash of Asius Rebbe Kiva, when it came time to give the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to know what letter of the Aleph Bey should he use to give the Torah with. So every letter got up and pleaded its case. The Tov said, use me because I have a numerical value of 400. The greatest numerical value. And the Shin came with his case. And the Resh came with his case, and so forth and so on. Actually, this was at the creation of the world. Finally, when it came to the Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to use the Beis because the creation of the world needs brocha, and Beis is brocha. And then the Aleph never even got a chance to speak. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Aleph, he says, why don't you say something? So the Aleph said, what can I say? What can I say? Every letter has a numerical value. This one is 400, and this one is 300, and this one is 200. And I don't have any numerical value. I don't have any value whatsoever. I don't stand a chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. He says, Ato echod vani echod. You're one and I'm one. I'm saving you for something better. For the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So the Beis was used for the creation of the world. Breishis bore Elokim. And the Aleph was used for the giving of the Torah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The first letter that Klal Yisrael heard on Har Sinai was the Aleph. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. There shall not be any other. As I mentioned, we've gone into this at length in the past, but we're just bringing this to emphasize one point here. Brocha, the word brocha, what does that mean? Brocha means an outgrowth. See, a ribuy, a multitude. When you give someone a brocha, you say that he should be nizraber, he should grow. He should have a multitude of children, he should have a multitude of wealth, and so forth and so on. Now, when it came to the creation of this world, this is what the creation was. This is Bria. That there should be a multitude, there should be a growth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Beis is the letter for that. And we find that the first letter in the alphabet that shows any growth of value, of numerical value, is the Beis. So that was the letter for that. But the giving of the Torah was higher than the creation of the world. Why? Because the creation of the world is the manifestation of the brocha. But it's not the source of the brocha. It's like when you find a mighty river. That's the manifestation of the brocha, but that's not the source. The source is that single source that's coming from somewhere. The manifestation of the brocha in this world, its source is from another world. And what is the ultimate source of all brocha and all creation? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Echod, I am one. Because whenever you find two or three, you know, then you have not reached the source. The source must be one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source for everything in the world. And the Rambam writes that if everything would disappear, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would still be here. If it would be possible for him to disappear, then nothing would be here. Everything is dependent on him, and he's dependent on no one. And the giving of the Torah, that represents the source of the creation. And the first dibur, the first commandment, was Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that I am the source. There should be no other sources in the world. And therefore he said, that's what, you're greater. That's what I need the Aleph for. And he gave the Torah with Aleph. Now, therefore, Torah is the essence of singleness. It's a very great principle, and unfortunately many people don't understand this. Torah is the essence of a singleness, of a unity. If Torah is the essence of unity, then how is it possible that this Torah should be ceded to a nation that has disunity? If Torah is the perfect essence of achdus, of unity, of singleness, of oneness, then how is it possible to give it to a nation that's not one? And that's why it states it was given to Yisrael, ki mi ki amcha Yisrael goy echod bo'oretz. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I gave it to Yisrael because Yisrael is a one nation. They're different than everyone else, and they're a single nation. They come all from Beis Yaakov, from the house of Yaakov, Avinu. And it states that just like Kuchi Brichu and Uraisa, Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, it also states Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael is one. They're all bound together. So if he's giving Torah, which is the perfect essence of unity, into this world to his one nation, how's it possible if they're divided and subdivided in Machlekes, how's it possible that they can receive Torah? Therefore, by all of the campings, it states Vayachanu. They camped with a disunity. But when it came to Har Sinai, there the situation demanded perfect unity. So therefore, it does not say Vayachanu, they camped. It says Vayichan, he camped. Ki ish echot, ki lev echot, all of Israel was like one man. And they were one man, because they all came from Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, they were Mekabel Torah. What do we see from here? That Torah can be received and can flourish only in a state of total unity. See, of total unity. Now, we go even a point further. There's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos that the Gemara says that Lo'osid Lovei, in time to come, and it's referring to the Golos, when Klal Yisrael will go into exile, this is a Gemara in Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis in Shabbos, when Klal Yisrael will go into exile, there will come where you won't have any Torah left. So the Gemara says, no Torah left. How can that be? Even in the darkest exile, there will always be Torah, because we have a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shelei Tishtachach Torah Yisrael. Torah will not be forgotten from Israel. So the Gemara says, no, this is what we mean. You'll have a woman who will bring something to the Beis HaMedrash, and she will ask, is this kosher or is it treif? Is this tomei or is this tohor? Is this asur or mutar? And they won't be able to answer. There'll be so much confusion. This one will say it's kosher, this one will say it's treif, this one will say it's tomei, this one will say it's tohor, this one will say bechlal, I don't know, this one will say it's both. She'll go to another Beis HaMedrash. She'll go to another Beis HaMedrash, and she'll go all over, and she won't be able to get a clear answer. Why? Because Chas v'sholom, Omer Reb Shimon Yochai, Chas v'sholom, shetishtachach Torah miYisrael. Not that Torah will be forgotten from Israel, because it says leisishkach mipizari, it will not be forgotten. Ella, what will it be that she'll try to find the Dvar Hashem and she won't find it? You will not find halacha brura u'mishna brura b'mokom echad. You will not be able to find a complete, clear Torah in one place. Now the explanation of this is the same. Because since Klal Yisrael and Torah is one affinity, is one unit, and just like Torah affects Klal Yisrael also affects Torah. When they will go into Golus, they will be physically scattered throughout the world. They will be physically disunited throughout the world. If they are physically disunited, then Torah also will be. Just like at Har Sinai, when they were one, and therefore they received one Torah, when they'll go into Golus, and they will be scattered, this will affect Torah also. So the Torah also will be scattered. That's why in our Golus, we will not find a unified Torah, just like the people are not unified. And the more disunified people become, and this we're seeing in our day, the more disunified people become, the more disunified Torah will become. One affects the other. With this, we can understand now two other brief points. The Gemara tells us, Talmidei Chachomim Marbim Sholem Be'olam. A Talmud Chacham brings peace. He unites the world. Why? The Talmud Chacham is the one who unites Torah. He learns Gemara, he learns Rambam, he learns Shulchan Aruch. And with his light, he comes and unites it. He makes from seemingly unrelated, disorganized, scattered points, he brings it together where it becomes a light and becomes unified. And since the soul of Torah is bound with the soul of Klal Yisrael, so any unity in Torah must have an effect on the unity of Klal Yisrael also. So therefore he brings shalom to Klal Yisrael. Tamid Chachomim Marvim Shalom Ba'elam, they bring peace to Klal Yisrael also. They unify Klal Yisrael. The Kovnerov, the Dvar Avrom Zachin Varoche, used to say that this, that it says Tamid Chachomim Marvim Shalom Ba'elam, he says this is a condition, this is a precondition, which means that if you find a Talmud Chochem that doesn't bring peace to Klal Yisrael, but he brings Machlekes to Klal Yisrael, he says that means he's not a Talmud Chochem, because the Chazal say this is a condition of a Talmud Chochem. A Talmud Chochem, a true Talmud Chochem, the byproduct must be peace in Klal Yisrael. And if he doesn't bring peace, then he's not a Talmud Chochem. This is what the Dvar Avraham would say. Because if he's a true Talmud Chochem and he's uniting Torah, then through this Klal Yisrael also must become united to a further degree. Therefore, Marvim Shalom Bayit. And we can understand one other point. Whenever we cannot understand something in the Gemara, we cannot put it together, we cannot unite it. The Gemara itself can't even unite it. So the Gemara says Teiku. What does Teiku mean? Teiku stands for Tishbi, who's Eliyahu, Yeturetz, Kushes Vabayas. Eliyahu will come and he will resolve it for us. He will unite this Gemara for us. Why Eliyahu? The Gemara says, what's Eliyahu going to come for? He will come and he will precede the Melech HaMashiach. But what will be his purpose? It says, Leibo Eliyahu, Elalase Shalom Ba'ilam. Eliyahu's task will be to bring peace in the world. His task will be to bring peace. If Eliyahu is the one who's going to come to bring peace amongst Klal Yisrael and to unite them, then through this he will unite Torah. Because Torah with Klal Yisrael are dependent on each other. If he's the one who can unite Klal Yisrael, then he will unite Torah. If he will unite Torah, then he will resolve all of our sfeikas. He will resolve all of our doubts and darknesses. Therefore, on anything that we cannot solve, we wait for Eliyahu. So we see that both have an effect on each other. Klal Yisrael would not have been able to receive Torah had they not been like one person. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, which is bound to him, is the single unity of the world. And it cannot be given to a nation unless they're unified. Therefore they were unified. The Torah unifies Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael unifies the Torah. When Klal Yisrael went into Golus and they were scattered amongst all of the nations, then this brought Golus to the Torah also. This brought exile to the Torah. And therefore that's why in Golus it states that we will not be able to find Torah in one place. It will be scattered. When someone unites Torah, then he unites Klal Yisrael also. That's why it states Tamidei Chachomim Marmadim Shalom Ba'ilam. And the one who will eventually unite all of Klal Yisrael, which will be Eliyahu, he will resolve for us all of our problems in Torah. He will unite Torah. That's why we say Teiku, which means Tishbi Yeturetz Eliyahu HaTishbi. He will come and he will answer all of our shaylos. These are a few points in regards to the preparation of the giving of the Torah. Very important points which we should all im Yirtzeh Hashem learn from and be zeche to grow in levels of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway, 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.